Amen. I was thinking as she was singing that song about our wonderful God, the Father in heaven, it's as if he has an expectancy for more children. He wants to have children. Like a young couple that wants children. Maybe they couldn't have children, but they desire children. And our God in heaven is desiring more children. And then he desires to be a father to those that are his. And those that have stranded, those that have struggled, those that have drifted, he wants to bring them back. That's our wonderful Father. Amen and amen. Well, that was quite a video they had on a few minutes ago. I'm not going to rap. They did a good job. They did a good enough job. But I've got a job to do because they did such a wonderful job. And then I was got a text that sought out is canceled tonight. So just put that in your hopper for next week. I think the majority of them are up at the camp tonight. So we're going to postpone that. But what a blessing. We're so glad to have all of you here this morning. And we just welcome you in every way. I'm concerned about how we accept change when it's a wrong change. It seems that disasters are in the news every day. And after one in Oklahoma, well, the next one, it just seems like, oh, another one. After one school shooting, well, then, oh, another one. Do you realize the deterioration that's taking place in our world today, in our country? Disasters, tragedies. My message today is going to be on the backslider. What a tragedy. The backslider, what a tragedy. What's the definition of backslider? Well, to backslide means to relapse into bad habits. Relapse is kind of a new word in the substance abuse world, the chemical dependency world. It seems that most everything is getting a new title so that it doesn't seem so bad. I want to tell you, to relapse into bad habits from being an overcoming Christian is a tragedy. It's not just a word. Sinful behavior, to relapse into sinful behavior, or to relapse into undesirable activities. An actor of an instance of backsliding. A backslide from his earlier training is one of the definitions. And now we continue. There's a cause and there's a consequence in backsliding. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. And the New Living Translation says, backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. This scripture says the backslider in heart. And so an action that has come that would be that relapse into bad habits, sinful behavior, undesirable activities, really begins in the heart. It's a backslider in heart when he is filled with his own ways, when he says, I have got to satisfy me. And it says the good man will be satisfied from above. Where is your satisfaction going to come from? Where is the peace going to come from? Is it going to be a temporary that comes through medicating, through being able to try to satisfy the lust of your heart? Or is it going to be coming from above, that God would bring it about? How does it take place? Well, sometimes a little bit at a time. Just like they say that you can boil a frog because he won't jump out. He'll die before he jumps out because he gets used to the hot water. And as we get used to just a little more sin, just a little more of going away from that earlier walk with the Lord, well, it's little by little. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who are those witnesses? Well, it goes probably, there wasn't 11 and 12 when it was written by whoever wrote Hebrews. that it's those witnesses in Hebrews 11 he's talking about. So great a cloud of witnesses. And since that was written, what a great amount of witnesses we have. Pioneers the persecuted church that have been able to stand fast and be steadfast in the midst of suffering, a great cloud of witnesses. It says we're surrounded by these that have overcome. We're surrounded by these that have lived a holy and overcoming life. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I'm a believer that we need to know ourselves very well. We need to know our weaknesses. We need to know our strengths. We need to know what the answers are. We need to be aware of the consequence of wrong actions. That it says, let us run the race, endurance that is set before us. How do we do it? We look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. New Living Translation, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. When you know yourself, you know the very place in your life that the enemy is going to attack, that he's going to use to entice you, to tempt you. You know, God doesn't tempt anyone, but he allows it. It's a test. Robert said school was out. Jody said school was out. That they had tests at the end of the year. Well, temptation is a test to see for ourselves if we're able to overcome, if we know the tools God has given us to overcome. Everyone is tempted when he's drawn away after his own lust and enticed. But it says sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And so it says be aware of this, dear brothers. So it's that easily sin that trips us up, that slows us down, that brings us there, that keeps us from doing what God has told us to do. You see, if you live by the flesh and you move into sin, there will be pleasure for a season. It's temporary. The people this morning that were in the clubs last night are trying to sleep it off this morning. They said they had some good feelings last night. They had some pleasure last night. But this morning, the consequences set in. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to his reward. You know, I was looking here in Luke chapter 15. What a powerful Holy Spirit that created these writers, like the gospel writers and the New Testament writers, to actually record the words of Jesus. They did not have a laptop. They did not have a phone with a message on it, with a recording device. They did. This was given to them as they recalled the words of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus gives the story, first of all, of the lost sheep and how that it was found, the lost coin and how that they searched for it, and then the tragedy of the lost son. Now, this story of the prodigal son, yes, it's for everyone that has never come to the Lord, because God did not create them. He did not allow them to be born to go to hell. He allowed them to be born so that they would be able to have the blessing of salvation. That song that was during the offering about Redeemer, that we are overcomers, that we've been redeemed. That's his plan. And then it's also a story to the backslider that has once come and has known the wonderful joys of salvation, that has known the peace that passes all understanding, that can stand and tell you, I can tell you there's a song used to say, I can take you to the place, I can tell you the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. That that they would be able to stand and say, I was as confused as could be. I was as lost as could be. But when I was able to be convicted of my sins and I accepted the redeeming power of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, I was saved. I was cleansed. My sins were forgiven. I felt clean. I had a new life. I was born again. Old things passed away. All things became new. And that was their salvation. But that person then that did not walk in the grace of God, and they began to walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit, they began little by little to let these things penetrate their lives to where that they became very lost. And this is the story of the prodigal son. The younger brother comes to the father and says, I want everything that's coming to me. I'm just going to paraphrase this. It's on the screen. But so his father reluctantly gave him his inheritance, and he took off, and he spent it on prodigal living. He had the friends. He had the pleasure for a while, and he went to a far country, and that's the way that sinners do. They try to get as far away from God as they can, but I want to tell you this morning, you will never get away from God's love. You will never get away from God's eyes. He spent all. Famine in the land. He got a job with a citizen of that country to feed hogs, feed swine. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the hog food. You see, that's what's out there for the backslider. It's hog food. No one gave him anything. He was still hungry. He came to himself. You see, that's when that you listen and you hear, and all of a sudden the truth comes in. And there's something there. There's something there that says you better listen. There's something there that says that's it. The story of David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz on the streets of New York. Finally, one of the guys said, hey, preacher, you're coming through. You're coming through. You see, it's when it's coming through, all of a sudden you're beginning to listen. You begin to say, and it's not so party time after all. It's a reality time. And so there he was, and he came to himself. And he said, my dad has servants hired that have bread to spare and barbecue to go with it. He said, here I am perishing with hunger. He said, I'm going to arise. And that's what happens when a person comes to the Lord. He arises and comes to the Lord. He arises out of a backslidden condition. He says, I'm going to go to my father. I'll say, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. See, no longer is he going to justify himself and say, well, you know, you should have done so and so. He said, I'm no longer to be called your son. I want to be one of your hired servants. I know your character, Daddy. I know that you would be good to your servants, and I'm willing just to be one of those servants. So he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. You know why I saw him? Because every day he was out there on that road, looking up that road to see if he could see any image coming that way, any dust coming up the way that could be his son returning home. Because I believe that every day he interceded for that lost son to come home. When he saw him, he had compassion. He didn't wait for him to come. He ran to him. God is running after you, and we need to be running after him. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. The son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer to be called your son. But, there it is again, the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. You're not going to be a hired servant. You're my son. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to have a good time and rejoice and be merry. Of course, the older brother didn't like it. He came in. He saw that there was music and dancing. And he said, what does this mean? They said, your brother's come home. And they've received him safe and sound. His father has killed the fatted calf. You know, sometimes when that sinner comes in, they may not look the way you want them to, but they may not smell the way you want them to. The prodigal son smelled like he'd been in a pig pen because he had been in a pig pen. And we as a church need to accept the people that come as God has sent them. I say, come as you are, but go away different. We say, come as you are, but there's hope for change. You're going to go in a new direction. You're going to talk a different talk. You know, when people get saved, they have to learn a new language. It's not Spanish or French. It's a language that all those cursing words in it. You see? I heard about one girl that was on TBN. Who's the lady there? Jan. She was interviewing her, and it was going off the air. She had about 30 seconds left. And she said, well, why don't you just curse the devil? Well, she meant, you know, to say, in the name of Jesus, I come against the devil. She said, what? Curse the devil. So she just let out, you know. And she let out right there on live TV. And Jan said, well, that is what he is, isn't it? Well, see, we have to change the language sometime. There it was. The older brother was upset. Said, you never gave me a barbecue. This son, he devoured your livelihood with harlots and killed the fatted calf for him. He said, son, you're always with me, and all I have is yours. But it was right that I should make merry. Your brother was dead and is alive again. You see, that's what happens. A backslider is dead, but he's coming back to life again. And I tell you, I'll just repeat it again. I've got this vision from the Lord that there's going to come a time when the backslider is going to recognize that this world is in the shape that it's in, that it's time for judgment, and they're going to run into the church while I'm preaching and run to the altar without even an altar call and get back right with God. I believe that the thousands of cars that go by out there and see hope on that sign are going to suddenly say, I better get right with God. And conviction is going to come in, and they're going to say, I'm coming home, and we better accept them. Jeremiah 3:22, it's God's cry for backsliders. He says, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. You see, God wants us to you're never too bad to get help. You're never too far to come back. You're never too sinful to come to a holy God and let him heal you of your backslidings. Let him give you that hope and help in your life. Hosea 14:4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. God knows who you are and where you are. God sees the inside of you, and he wants to change you from inside out. He knows who you are and where you are. 1969 to 1977, here in Tyler, Charlotte and I had the Teen Challenge Center. We founded the Tyler Teen Challenge, East Texas Teen Challenge, and we accepted people in trouble. We had this alcoholic that came to us, and he was very loyal to me, very friendly, but he couldn't get along with other people. His younger leaders, he didn't accept. And all of a sudden, he took off on his own. And I was in Springfield, Missouri at a conference. And I had traveled that day, and I was very tired. And this was the prayer I prayed as I got in bed that night. I said, Lord, I'm tired. If you got to speak to me through a dream. And I fell asleep. I don't advise you to do that, but that's what I did. That night, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw Lloyd, the young guy that, he wasn't so young. I remember him saying, I get sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I saw him. And in the dream, his whiskers were grown out. He was red-faced. His eyes were red. And that morning, I called back to the center. I said, have y'all heard from Lloyd? They said, no. I said, okay. I had my conference, and I came back, and I said, have y'all heard from Lloyd? They said, no. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call. Joe, it's Lloyd. I said, Lloyd, I know where you're at. Your face is red. Your whiskers are grown out. Your eyes are red. You've been drinking. You're out on the streets again. Joe, can I come back? I said, yes, come on back. We want to help you again. So a few months go by, and all of a sudden, the same thing happens again. Joe, will you take me to Interstate 20? I'm out of here. Said, I can't get along with that guy. I'm out of here. So I go up, and I remember praying for him and seeing him walk up the ramp, Interstate 20. After that, God tells us that our Teen Challenge days are complete and that we're to start a ministry basically helping Christian men that get out of prison, later women. And so we began Calvary Commission, and that first year, the Lord speaks to me to a big green sign that says Chicago, that he wants us to take those people to Chicago. And so we go to Chicago, and we have an outreach. We start a church the people on the street said, you can't tell me anything because I'm a heroin addict and I spend $100 a day. The Calvary Commission guy says, I was a heroin addict too and I spent $200 a day. And God changed my life and saved me. And we had a massive effect on there. A year later, the pastor of the church we started calls me and says, Joe, would you come back? Would you come back for a day of organization? This is going to be our first day of the chapter of our church getting really in line and membership Sunday. I said, I will. So I came, and that night, I still remember. I wish I didn't, but it was pizza and red drink of some kind. Well, I don't know what was in that Chicago pizza. They're supposed to be better than anywhere in the world, but, man, I got sick. And all that red stuff, anyway, coming out. The next morning, the pastor said, Joe, I said, there's a hotel over here that we might be able to get for a center. Would you go with me and let's walk through it? Because I know you're a man of vision and you can see what you think about it. We went through that shut-down hotel that smelled like dirt and puke and everything else, and I was getting sicker by the minute. And finally, you know, I said, can I just sit somewhere while y'all look at this again? And so he said, yeah, right across the street is the people that own this other building. Just go sit in the lobby. See, I'd got one letter from Lloyd, and it had an address in Chicago. And as I sat on that seat in that lobby, as I could just look out the window, I saw a street sign, and I said, where have I seen that before? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, that was Lloyd's address. And I walked in like a fool and said to the person behind the counter, do you know Lloyd Apak? Said, yeah, 301. That was his wife. It just came up the door there. I walked up, knocked on the door. He opened the door. Joe Foss turned to his wife. Didn't I tell you he'd find me? Didn't I tell you that he'd come? If he ever came to Chicago, he'd come, you know? You see, God knows who you are and where you are. This morning, I'm not going to finish this message. I'm going to let Bill Martin preach this morning. Put this newsletter up. This was 1988. This was a brother here that came from Ferguson Prison. Here he is in prison ministering to a hope crusade that we had that day. What a powerful man of God. Next one. Here he is again. Here's Bill with his wife and three children. And here's Bill today.
I've got to preach.
He writes from a Virginia prison cell. When I heard that Bill had got in trouble, been a few years that he had been in prison already, I finally got his address and I sent him the book, Challenge of the Impossible. I got a letter back that said, Joe, it was bitter. To read that story, said I felt like I would have at least had a paragraph, if not a whole chapter in that book. I guess you wonder how I'm doing. Well, I don't think that God could ever forgive me for what I did. I guess I'll study psychology now. Then I wrote back and I gave his address to some of the others that knew him. And they even began to send him some commissary money, so on. And then I got the letter that said, Joe, maybe there is something that God can do in my life yet. And first of all, I want to read you a poem that he wrote when he was in the county jail called One Inch from Hell. I, like the sow to the mire, return to my sin. Despite a new life in service to him, once enlightened, filled with hope for eternity, I left the shadows of Christ's atoning tree. The flames of conscience now burn within. Hear souls crying, pleading from hell's den. Suffering companion, now I entreat you to listen. A strange bride whispering did yell, "What's wrong with you? You're 1 inch from hell." The demons taunt, the devils do laugh. From my life they take their graft. Heart confusing yearns for God, yet under clay feet of mine his blood I've trod. After life imprisoned, I'll surrender remains, then straightway to Satan's full fury and chains. Brash, I'll not presume, no longer arrogant, imploring you to do or be any different. Call it sin, mistake, or just a peccadillo, like a story in a song, I've played my fiddle. It's for you, the actor, to choose of life's stages, but for at least one of my tears stained these pages. Here's Bill's message to you this morning. 1 inch from hell, the dangers of backsliding. I want to share a terrible yet true story. My purpose is twofold. One is to warn against backsliding by illustrating the horrible consequences of returning to the vomit. And secondly, to offer hope to those who find themselves in that condition. The author of the book of Hebrews writes, by the way, when Bill was on our staff, he went to East Ham Prison every week and taught the book of Hebrews. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Take care indeed. I had a dramatic conversion experience in December of 1981 in a prison cell, Ferguson Unit in Texas, 12 block 3 cell. God, by his Spirit, really transformed my life, changed my heart, gave me both purpose and direction. I was released in the summer of 83 and paroled to Calvary Commission. I stayed there for 5 years. Great years. Some of the best years of my life. There I met and married a wonderful young woman, and together we had 4 beautiful children together. In 1988, we moved to Chicago, where I took a position as assistant pastor at a church there. I lived for the Lord for approximately 16 years. The last 4 or so of those years, I look back, I was drifting. The first of 5 warnings in the book of Hebrews. This one is in chapter 2, verse 1. Allowing more and more of this world into my life. During those 16 years, though, I had some very rich times with the Lord, witnessed several miracles, and was given tremendous opportunities for an ex-con. I even got the chance to preach in the very unit I got saved in. He went on to be pastor of a church in Chicago, Assembly of God Church in Chicago. He invited me up on Pentecost Sunday. I went and I preached, and he was interceding in the altar for a Pentecost to fall down. And we prayed for people, and he wrote me later that one lady that didn't feel she had been baptized in the Holy Spirit that day went out of the door, and when she turned her car on, started her car, she started speaking in tongues. Powerful, powerful minister at that time. But then in Hebrews 3, 12 through 15, I believe you can find both of the cause and the prevention of backsliding. In that text is the phrase, today, if you will hear his, God's voice, do not harden your hearts. If you do not, you will prevent. But if you do harden your heart to the today voice of the Holy Spirit, it becomes easier tomorrow and easier still the next day, etc., etc. The hardening process begins if you do not put it in check. You will end up in a place you did not want to go. And that's what I did. I began to compromise my convictions. Slowly but surely, I quit resisting the devil, instead began resisting the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been born again, you know what I'm speaking of. I began to enjoy it again once the pleasures of sin. And make no mistake about it, there is pleasure in sin, but for a season. Hebrews 11:25. Genuine lasting pleasure is only found in the actual presence of God. Genuine, lasting pleasure is only found in the actual presence of God. Psalm 16:11. I don't want to glorify sin or make this too long, so I'll be brief on the next stage. I resigned from ministry due to a troubled marriage brought on by my involvement with pornography. I resigned from ministry due to a troubled marriage brought on by my involvement in pornography. I began going to bars a few evenings a week after work. At first, I was drinking only non-alcoholic beer, but it wasn't long before I took the non off that. The marriage only grew worse despite counseling and other attempts of saving it. One time, his mother-in-law paid their way to meet me in Ohio with one of our other leaders to try to counsel their marriage. It grew worse in spite of other attempts of saving it, but without a real break from sin, nothing else seemed to help. Eventually, we separated, but it wasn't long after that I abandoned church, the Bible, and everything else God had built into my life. I even began to see other women. What all this led up to was eventually getting together with a woman running from her own demons of drug addiction. When she made a choice to return to her drug of choice, cocaine, I made the tragic decision to join her. 39 years old, great job, 4 wonderful children, and years of exposure to the truth. And yet, like a pig to its mire, I snorted that first line, and it was over. Within 4 months of drug abuse, mostly smoking cocaine, I experienced the tragic truth of Matthew 12:45, and the last state of that man became worse than the first. I committed a senseless and terrible crime, capital murder. My heart became so hardened and selfish that I took a man's life, a man I knew and said to say, a friend. I even liked him. I had no ill feelings toward him whatsoever, but I knew he kept a few thousand dollars on him, and I needed the money to buy drugs. Despite having a job making $30 an hour, I needed the money to buy drugs. I needed money. He had it. My heart was so ugly, so hardened, so selfish, I considered not the consequences, and I took his life in cold blood. I was caught in a few days, a divine appointment that time will not allow me to go into now, but I was hundreds of miles away from the scene of the crime, and here I am now, serving life without parole in a Virginia prison. Perhaps you've heard the saying of many preachers, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Well, I'm living proof of that. And something I've learned from studying the life of Samson is that sin will bind you, blind you, and grind you. Judges 16:21. Sin will bind you, enslave you, and make you its servant. It will blind you to its consequences and the very fleeting nature of its pleasures. It will grind you to powder, to dust, where your life is worth nothing more than the dirt you were taken from. Consequently, what the devil feeds on, dust. Samson allowed his passions to run free, and despite Delilah's obvious design to deceive Samson, he was blinded by his lust for her. Samson's name means sunlight, brilliance, but he wasn't living up to his name and ended up blinded and grinding out corn in a dark prison. That's what happens when we don't live up to the light God has put into our hearts. Oh, not overnight, but over time. Trust me, the consequences will far exceed the fleeting moment of fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I'm not speaking here of a temporary departure or a momentary lapse in judgment, but of a hardening of the heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit, of drifting from the convictions you know the Lord has put into your life. I told you at this onset that this would be a terrible story. But in verse 21 of Judges 16, this is when his life began to turn around and he began to realize that maybe God wasn't through with him. However, I'm so thankful for that word, however. However, Samson's hair began to grow again. If you find yourself in a backslidden condition, let me say there is still hope. I wonder where he got that. I can remember times the Lord was reaching out to me to get me to turn back, and I kept resisting. Don't make my mistake of waiting too long. God had mercy on me. It took me 4 years of doing this time before I really believed. That the Lord would forgive me. Don't be so hard on yourself. God's mercy endures forever. I felt that I'd crossed a line that forgiveness was impossible. However, the Holy Spirit kept drawing me and sending people into my life to communicate His love and desire to forgive. Finally, I gave in and surrendered His call to return and rededicated my life to the Lord. I've been so humbled by His mercy and His presence in my life. He has, even though Samson's story, given me a purpose. In Judges 16:30, it states, "So the dead which he slew in his death were more than which he slew in his life." The Lord was using this verse to tell me there's still opportunity right where I'm at to do damage to Satan's kingdom if I will stay in that secret place, if I will abide in Christ Jesus, his son. So there is hope. But at the same time, I'm definitely paying more than I ever intended to pay. The life I forfeited of serving Christ and the family I abandoned are gone, and much cannot be recovered. Yes, I have hope, and God, by His infinite mercy, provided peace in my heart and gave me an assurance of eternity in His presence. God will heal and restore the backslider. God will heal and restore the backslider. Isaiah 57:17-18. But all the suffering I inflicted on others and myself could have been avoided. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Hebrews 3:15, Ephesians 5:14. Turn now today before you get a letter from a loved one asking you, "What's wrong with you? You're one inch from hell." Bill Martin, KMCC, Oakwood, Virginia. How does it happen? You know, people kind of need numbers sometimes, not little children, to understand. God gave me a plan several years ago. I don't have 5 steps, thank goodness. But first step down was wrong thoughts. And in many prison audience, I would take that step down. It begins in the heart, begins in the mind. Wrong thoughts. That's why we're to meditate on Scripture. Brother Dale, that's why we're to memorize Scripture. Get in our hearts so those wrong thoughts can be combated. Second step down is wrong decisions. Ever made one? Third step down is wrong actions. From thoughts come decisions. From decisions comes actions. Now, it's not just in the mind. It's not just something you decided to do, but it's actual actions. They may not put you in prison for thoughts or decisions, but they can put you in prison for wrong actions. And then the multiplication of those actions, number four, become bad habits. And that's where he was after he got hooked on cocaine. Final step is destruction or perversion, that you're there at the bottom. And thanks be to God, there's those same steps back up. Right thoughts. Right decision this morning would be to get right with God. Right decision this morning for a sinner is to get saved. For a backslider is to come home. I remember our pastor's wife at the organ during altar calls, pleading. She'd play the organ and look out over the congregation. Come home, come home. My children, come home. Come home, come home. Right actions, good habits, a lifestyle of holiness. Pleasure for a season. You will show me the path of life. It's your presence, fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Like we said at the beginning, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Anna, would you come and help me this morning? What grieves God's heart is people rebelling against Him, resisting Him. He has spread a mighty table for us. He says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And He has a table spread for us that's full of abundant life. The kind of life that Bill Martin had for those years of serving the Lord. Those 16 years, he said, of serving the Lord. Full of the Word of God. Powerful leader. Married a wonderful young lady. That's the abundant life that God had. But the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Scripture tells us in Luke 15:7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. It grieves God's heart for people to run from Him. It grieves God's heart for people to backslide and to leave Him. We can backslide if we're not as close to the Lord as we once were. We can backslide if prayer doesn't matter anymore. We can backslide if the Word of God is just a book. We can backslide if we're not walking in the Spirit and we're walking in the flesh and our words against people are corrupt and they're damaging. We're backsliding. But we can come back and we can bring joy to God's heart. One final scripture. James 5:19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So do you want to be that person that helps others turn back? That finds people wandering from the truth, and you go to them and you speak truth to them. Truth in love. Sometimes it hurts. But do you want to be that person that turns them back? You say, I've tried so much. And I've had so many disappointments. Yes. Even in Paul's day, he said, some believed and some didn't believe. Some believed not. But we've got to keep trying. We've got to keep in compassion. We've got to go after those lost souls. We've got to find Lloyd Hapak in a run-down hotel in Chicago. That God would lead you back to that person. He would lead you there. They think they're hiding from God, but they're not. I've had multitude of times in our lives where that people thought they were hiding in darkness and God would expose them and the light would come on. Not where they wanted it, not where they want us to see them, but there they were. Because God knows who we are and where we are. Should we be one that turns the other person back? So this morning I want to present to you the message of Bill Martin and the message of Joe today that says, if you're living a life of sin and you've never been born again, you are a prodigal and you need to come to the Lord who loves you. You're wasting your life. You're in a hog pen and maybe not know it. You say, oh, I'm doing good. I got a great job, great car. If without Jesus, you're in a hog pen and you need to be saved. Prayer team, would you come at this time and stand before me here? And maybe then there's people here today that you said, I've wandered far away from God, but I want to come home. You might say, I've drifted, like Bill said, I've drifted, but I want to get right with God. I want to know Him like I once knew Him. I want to have the peace of God that passes understanding. I want to be clean. I want to stop covering up. I want to stop living a lie. I want to come to the Lord. I want to be able to cast all my cares upon Him because the Word says He cares for me. You know, if you go before a judge and you've been charged with a crime, there's only two things you can say. Guilty or not guilty. Many times people say not guilty when they know they are. You come before the Lord this morning. You present yourself to Him. Are you going to say guilty, or are you going to say, oh, I'm not all that bad. After all, not anymore. Everybody sins. Not anymore than anybody else does. Other people commit adultery. Other people lie. Other people go to clubs on Saturday night and church on Sunday morning. Before God. Don't you have any fear of God in your life? I tell you, if you come to this altar this morning and you present your life to Him, and His blood will cleanse you from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel y justo para perdonarnos nuestros pecados y limpiarnos de toda maldad. Then you can say not guilty, because the blood has washed away the guilt. It's washed away the sin. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit convict you today. Would you stand with me? You desire to get things right with God this morning. You desire even to say, Lord, I want to have the power of my life to turn a sinner back from his ways. The altars are open. Won't you come? Don't just sing those words. Mean it in your heart.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Much is given, much is required. You're responsible for the word that's been going forth this morning.
His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee.
That man right there is responsible for me walking with the Lord and most of my family coming to see the Lord. And he was just such a blessing to us. When they used to come on the sales teams, they used to come to Chicago. And they stayed at my home several times, and like about a team of five guys. And Bill, we made breakfast for them every morning and dinner when they came home at night. And Bill would go, he wouldn't eat with us in the morning. He would go out to the truck and pray over the day and everything. And if it wasn't for that man, I wouldn't be here today. And I just had to share that and just let you guys know. And I know his whole family very, very, very well. And they were all, his wife and my daughters came to Calvary Commission together in 1981 or 2 or something like that. So he's always been a big part of our life, and And I'm forever grateful for his life and what he taught us.
Today he is discipling other men in prison. I sent him Vernon Hedges' discipleship book that he had written, and he takes that and teaches other men. His goal is to raise up people and send them to Calvary Commission. But like he said, this isn't the way it was supposed to be. I shared last week in Reynosa, Mexico, on how to overcome regrets and disappointment. You see, one of the things, we got to get up and go again. We got to get up and go again. Amen. So take this message with you today. Hallelujah. I've delivered my soul, my heart, so I commit it to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to bless you and let you go a little early this morning. Sure.
You know, the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And none of us are any less vulnerable. But I wanted to share something with this church. I was given, I don't know, those kids were about 6 or 7, I don't know, about eight years old. And I was given the wonderful, wonderful opportunity of tambourine and teaching them tambourine. And I was told that that there was anointing, and I know that there was anointing on my life because he would give me songs and he would, you know, just show me just exactly, you know, how it all was supposed to be and lay it out, and, you know, and we went after it, and it was a really, really enormously blessed time in my life. But I got tempted. I got tempted out of, really out of resentment because of things in my marriage that didn't work out. And that resentment led to rebellion. And every time I came before the Lord, I would tell him I was sorry, you know. And I would ask him to cover me. But things got worse, and my husband and I separated, and then he kind of backlashed at me through the church, and it really caused a lot of pain because I was carrying a lot of anger. I had a tremendous amount of stuffed anger. Because the things that I had wanted didn't work out. And so I couldn't fix them. And I just rebelled. I just rebelled and became very backslidden. And so I lost that anointing. I lost the anointing. Because of my sin, and I miss it. I really, really miss it. I know you do. And I love you all, and I just wanted to share with you that it can happen to anybody, but I do pray that I never backslide again. I really, really pray. And I want God to use me, and I want his anointing back in whatever area he wants to use me in. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Diane. You're welcome to come anytime, part of the family. Well, I'm going to write Bill and tell him that he preached at Church of Living Hope this morning. So I took your picture, the people he preached to. Is that okay? So y'all are going to Virginia prison, whether you want to or not. Amen. Stretch your hand this way, everyone. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now go and find a need and meet it. Find that backslider and bring him home. Bring him back. Tell him yes, even as God finally revealed to Bill that he wasn't too far, that he would be able to come. Find that need and meet it. Find that hurt and heal it. Go in the name of the Lord. Thank you for coming. Take hope with you. Tell everyone that asks you the reason why you've got it, why you've got it. Amen.